Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Every time he sees that Malcolm Butler play, it's like clockwork.
Just turn around and hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch. Like, come on. Seriously. That is the worst play in the history of the National Football League. That might be the worst play I've ever seen in sports. Period. That might be the worst play
ever.
Dude, turn around and hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch and go home with a trophy. But instead, we're going to make Russell Wilson a hero. Ouch.
Didn't exactly end up that happening.
It makes me so mad because you didn't have to do that. Yeah. You didn't have to outsmart yourself. You really didn't. Beast Mode just ripped off chunks for you to get you there.
Right, on that drive, yep.
And on that, turn around, here you go, buddy. Mm-hmm. Turn around, here you go, buddy. I promise you he was getting in. And I don't need to continue to keep saying it over and over, but Pete, I'm sure Pete stays up at night thinking about that.
How could you not? How could you not? The interesting thing is, it's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline, including Jeff Van Gundy, in 9 minutes. Jay, you got something?
No, I was just going to say that talks about that relationship between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, though, too, Key, right? Like, hey, I'm going to give it to Russell Wilson in this critical moment. And that's something that a lot of players see. And that stuff festers in the locker room.
Yeah,
It festers in the locker room.
I think there was some mention after the game about them wanting to Russell to be the MVP and be the guy. But not there. Don't do that to me.
I know, man.
But to Jay's point, what's interesting is if you remember what happened right after the game, both of them had each other's backs, right? And these guys couldn't be tighter. Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, they're like attached at the hip. Yeah, it was a terrible play, but they all said the right things publicly.
Yeah, that's fine.
How much things have changed right now. You got to imagine there's some tension between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson at this point. He has not demanded a trade, according to his agent, Mark Rogers, but Adam Schefter is saying there are four teams out there that if he would consider a trade, they would look at
those. Like working at ESPN. Meanwhile, CNN hires me.
Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, Bears. Obviously, Watson on the other side, too, says he wants to go. The Texans are saying you're not going anywhere. Could set up potential heartbreak for both franchises. As Key has mentioned before, the Seahawks just aren't Seattle's team. They're a region. They're the whole Pacific Northwest. And obviously, the Texans here coming upon their 20-year anniversary as a franchise, are you going to let the best player you've ever had go? Setting up fans for heartbreak in Seattle if Wilson goes, setting up for heartbreak when and if Watson goes. So this morning's question: who essentially is getting you ready to break your heart? What fan base is getting ready to break your hearts?
Raiders do it all the time, right? I mean, I'm a low-key, sneaky Raider fan like you are a Denver Bronco fan. Mm-hmm. Because I'm L.A., and so for me, that was my pro team growing up. And every single year, it's like, oh, man, they starting out to – oh, here they go again. Oh, well. And you get that. And I'm sure Clipper fans feel the same way about the Clippers. You know, Angel fans feel the same way about the Angels. Met fans feel the same way about the Mets. Heartbreak. Dodgers did it to me for several years until this past year.
Yankees, Clippers. I mean, Clippers lost their last 3 out of 5 games. They got smacked by the Grizzlies last night. You're like, oh, you're – come on, Clip Show. Just get there, please.
Let's see what the fellas and the ladies are saying again. What team are you expecting to break your heart? We'll take some calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, KJ and Z on Twitter, weighing in on Twitter. John on Twitter: my Atlanta Falcons are the most consistently inconsistent thing in sports. We'll talk about best case, worst case, Jay, for the Falcons in an hour.
Yeah, the Falcons are, I mean, they're fine, but they're not fine, right? It's like,
this year was not fine for them, Key, at all.
You started to see them kind of take a dip a little bit. Coaches got fired. I thought defensively they played poor. Julio was in and out of the lineup. Matty Ice did as much as he could do. I want to see him leave, though. I don't want to see him in Atlanta anymore. I want to see him have an opportunity to get back to a Super Bowl, go to the San Francisco 49ers. Hell, you made a lot of money. Go to the organization and say, you know what? If you trade me to San Fran, I'll take a pay cut. I just want to get out of here. Go ahead and flex your muscles.
How about this? In the Peach State, there's all sorts of issues, huh? Thomas in West Virginia, you're on ESPN Radio. Team or teams, I guess, that are ready to break your heart?
Any team from the state of Georgia. I don't care if it's the Braves, the Falcons, the Bulldogs, the Hawks, if they get there, even the soccer team in Atlanta will probably break your heart this year if you cheer for them.
Ah, Atlanta United. Wow.
That sounds soccer emotional right there. I feel you on that one, man.
So many years the Braves struggled. They got back into the playoffs this year.
But remember, those 14 division titles yielded one World Series. They won the NL East for 14 straight years with
Smoltz
that type
bank.
Of pitching.
Yeah.
Maddox and Glavin,
and
right?
And Glavin and those guys.
One title out of that.
I know, but.
Georgia football, same thing, right? So close.
Georgia football.
So close.
I don't think they've won since Herschel Walker.
Yeah, back with Vince Dooley in 80. Yeah, so I mean, think about it, right? But they've been there, right? Tua broke their heart a few
years ago.
The Falcons
have been to the Super Bowl twice. The
Hawks haven't been there in a long time. Hawks could have had Luka Doncic.
The Hawks have fans? I didn't even realize the Hawks had fans.
Hawks could have had Luka Doncic on their team.
The Miami Super Bowl, Miami Gate.
Jeez.
And then this pass with the New England Patriots.
Maj in Philly. Let's head to the callers. Maj in Philly, you're on ESPN Radio. Who's
Poor
getting
Eugene
ready?
Robinson.
Yes, indeed. Sir. Good morning.
Hey, what's up? Who's ready to break your heart?
The Sixers and the Eagles.
Well, the Eagles are rebuilding now, so that's over with. That heart is already broken. And then the Sixers could be one. I've always felt like it's the Nets and the Sixers in the East. Now that we're looking at Tobias out, that could potentially put a monkey wrench in the program.
Well, you worry about Joel Embiid's health. I just go back to this. I mean, if you look, Philly's taking a long time to get here. But I always go back to, like, that draft pick of Markel Fultz. Like, Philly could have had Jason Tatum. Like, I know we always do this, that we go through all these, like, what-if scenarios. Like, just the fact that Jason Tatum could have been in a 76er uniform, like, will always sit wrong with me.
Jay, let me ask you this, though, just about basketball. Because this is how I feel at times about football and guys that are considered the guy, the leader, whatever the case is. If you don't win in basketball – granted, 1 year, right? And Markelle Fultz at Washington, he didn't get his team even into the tournament. Is it, dude, like, how do you look at that in hoops? Does it really matter?
No, because, I mean, Ben Simmons didn't get his team into the tournament either, and he's one of your pillars of your franchise, right? Like, it takes so much to win. That's why when people always, like, you know, a lot of people online, when we were having our conversation about Dak and Russell Wilson, be like, well, how many championships has Dak won? I'm like, Russell Wilson also had a great defense with Cam Chancellor and company. Like, it's a team effort. And I know basketball, sometimes one player can make the world of a difference, but still so many things go into that. So it's more about the potential and what your skill set is ultimately.
Okay. For me, I look at it, Zubin, and I go, well, he didn't really put Washington on his back. So what made them think that him being the number one overall pick was going to put the Sixers on his back? But, you know, unlike guys that are superhuman like LeBron James, he's won everywhere he's been. Mm-hmm. Like, I like factoring that into my evaluation when I look at guys in sports.
Right. As Jay said, you know, the Yankees, what, 11-year playoff drought, or World Series drought, excuse me. They're 11-year World Series drought. Like, certain teams would be like, oh, my goodness, we've never even been, like, the Colorado Rockies have never won their division, right? They've never won their division. And now the Yankees fans think an 11-year, 12-year drought as we head into 2021 since their last title in 2009. That is the same thing with the Lakers. Your Lakers, they hadn't won a title in, oh, my goodness, 10 years.
Yeah, but
they hadn't won a title.
But we
in
got
10
17
years.
Of them, though, man. Come
but
on, man.
But that's where so the expectation level flips, right?
Key, if you factor winning into who do you draft, do you take Devontae Smith in the top 10?
It's different,
because
though.
He's a winner.
No.
He's a winner, though. And he's most prolific wide receiver probably in the history of college football, right?
Yeah, but he's a winner based on a team, right? But he's not the quarterback. If he was the quarterback, that's a different conversation. He's not the quarterback. He's a receiver. And so he's not touching the ball but 4 or 5 times in a game. But
I don't see how you don't take him top 10, though, Key. Like, he is a jet.
No, it depends on what, okay. If I'm a team that needs that style wide receiver and I need to move up in order to get him because there's a team at 9 or there's a team at 8 or a team that is going to move up to get that particular receiver at that particular spot, then maybe I move up to get him. You understand what I'm saying? But as far as just, you know, saying, oh, because he's there, I'm going to select him if I don't need him, then no. But if I need him, I'll move up to get him if I think somebody else can get him. You don't want too many Devontae Smiths on the team at that position at receiver.
No, I understand, but like Miami would need a guy like Devontae Smith, right? If you're trying to think about if Tua is going to be your franchise QB moving forward, or also Deshaun, you can package it as well. I'm just saying.
But is Jamar Chase better than Devontae Smith in the eyes of Greer and Flores? So when you start to look at the receivers, do I like Devontae Smith? Do I like Chase? Like, who do I like? Do I like the kid out of Florida? Like, sometimes you have to look at four or five different guys. Or do I like this guy in the second round and pass on everybody because I'm going to get a guy in the second round that I think is better than those guys? I mean, that's just what happens.
Yeah, it's your expectation level. If you've won, you want to continue to win. If you've never won, you just want to win once. It's just the way to look at it. We'll continue to take calls all morning long. Again, 888-ESPN, who's ready to break your heart? 888-729-3776, KJNZ on Twitter. Let us know. It's a passionate topic for everyone. At the end of the day, whether you're working in the media or you're calling in, we're all fans at heart. A reminder, today on the ESPN Daily Podcast, midseason takes on the NBA from Zach Lowe from the Low Post Podcast, and who's likely to stay on top. Plus, Brian Windhorst update on NBA Top Shot. This is something Jay's been talking about for a little bit. $200 million in and counting. That's the ESPN Daily Podcast. Listen on your favorite podcast app. Time for more NBA chatter. And here they sit at 16-17. Last playoff appearance 2012-2013. Actually got to the Eastern Conference semifinals that year. And now playing well under a new head coach, Julius Randle playing out of his mind. And there's excitement again, even if the fans aren't fully there, 19,763 strong. There's still some vibe and energy at Madison Square Garden. So things are looking up for Knicks fans, who would be in prime position for that heartbreak question, by the way, right? They would be in prime position, but things are looking good. Michael Kay Show, ESPN 98.7 in New York, around the sports scene in New York for decades, as many of you know, has said, hang on, things look good now, but don't start throwing that ticker tape parade down the Canyon of Heroes just yet.
I'm not knocking them. I'm not criticizing them. They're not good enough yet. That's what everybody has to realize. Don't fall in love and think that this team, once it matures for 2 or 3 years, is going to be Chateaubriand. It's not. It's not good enough. And it might be a killer hamburger and you know, make the playoffs every year. It's not going to win a championship.
Media response from Michael Kay. Let's bring in a guy who's actually been a Knicks head coach, had a tremendous success with the organization, and now is our lead NBA analyst. That's Jeff Van Gundy. He'll be on the call tomorrow night. We got a double dip on ESPN tonight as well. All right, Jeff, good morning. What do you think of Michael's comments, knowing the Knicks the way you do?
Can't we just enjoy some success?
I'm with
you. Like, do we have to, like, say they're not championship caliber? I mean, Michael's absolutely right. They're not championship caliber, but they've been bad for a long period of time, so there is no skipping of steps. You don't go from bad to championship caliber. So I think what they've done really well is they have no great player, but Randall's playing at a really high level, and then they have tremendous depth. And whoever was in charge of the quickly pick hit it out of the home run, because when you get a young player at 25 that immediately contributes from day one, you've done a great job in the draft. And so they've got depth, they've done a good job with the draft with quickly, and Randall's playing as a really, really good player. And then Thibodeau's influence on their defensive approach and intensity has been phenomenal. They are really hard to score on.
I'm with you on that one, JVG. Let's talk about the Celtics for a second. Do you put more of the onus on Brad Stevens from a coaching perspective, or more so the fact that, hey, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, two all-stars, they have to do more? I know they're missing Marcus Smart, but which one do you think deserves more?
Well, I think it's a bunch of different things. I think it's injury. They're the opposite of the Knicks. They've had depletion of depth. Jeff Teague hasn't played as they had hoped. Marcus Smart, COVID protocols have hurt dramatically. And then they've lost some heartbreaking games. The game they lost to New Orleans was an absolute heartbreaker to Dallas. In the next game, Doncic hitting two big threes. So, you know, I don't think there's really blame to go around. I think this is what happens when you have a lot of things happen to you, and it shows you just how close the league is between being considered a championship caliber team and a 500 team.
Coach, how about Kemba Walker? Has he looked the same to you? Do you feel like he's missing something?
You know, when I watch him, up until when he raises up to shoot, I don't notice a loss of quickness, a handle. Like, I was able to be a part of the World Cup staff, and he was on the team. You're not going to get a more committed, caring competitor. Like, he's awesome. But when he raises up to shoot now, to me, the difference is the ball doesn't go in as much. And to me, he looks like he's getting good looks. He's still able with his handle to create space and separation. I don't notice anything he's actually lost physically other than, you know, he did have to sit out a lot of the year or in the preparation for the year. He missed early games in the season. And this season is unforgiving, so maybe just still hasn't caught his rhythm. But I expect him to because, like I said, he's got as high a level of basketball character as you could hope for, but he does have to play better. When you don't have the depth that they've once had, you need your three best players, Tatum, Brown, and Walker, to be consistently good.
Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN NBA analyst, former NBA head coach, calling the Mavs versus the Nets on Saturday, 8:30 p.m. on ABC. Coach, tell me how concerned I should be about my Lakers without Anthony Davis in the lineup.
You should be as concerned as you think that injury is for what it may be long-term or if it's going to hobble him throughout the rest of the year. Other than that, have no concern at all. Like people, I love when people say, man, they don't look good. What's wrong? You know, I know they're missing Anthony Davis, but yeah, they're missing Anthony Davis. Like, that's the thing. This is a game of players. It's not a game of, like, you know, what system do you run or what system do you run? Like, any system Anthony Davis is in, it's a good system. And you put him and James, and they've also missed Schroeder lately. Like, they're missing two of their best three players. They're not a team of great depth. So, like, they're going to struggle. I would not be worried unless you think this is something that long-term could impair them. The one thing is, though, Keyshawn, is as Utah widens the lead, the path to winning a championship is going to be more challenging because they're going to be probably a 2-3 seed. That means they're going to have to go through the Clippers and Utah to win it all. And that's going to be, you know, that just makes it more precarious.
Something you said there, Coach, you said that they don't have a lot of depth. Is it now all of a sudden, is that lack of depth exposed now? Because prior to that, right, everybody was saying, oh, the Lakers got the depth. They got the depth. Now that AD is out and Schroeder has missed time, are we now exposed from a depth standpoint?
Well, I think any team would be, right? If you lose your two of your, you know, your second and third best player, you're going to absolutely have some exposure, particularly over a long period of time, right? Durant's missed for Brooklyn, right? But they still have Kyrie and Harden. But if you took one of those two guys out as well, and you only had one, then they would be, you know, struggling too. And I think, you know, I know this is a football term. It initially was coined it, but it's one of the things that makes my stomach turn is when people say next man up. Like, if the next man up was as good as the first man up, then he wouldn't have to be the next man up. He's not as good. He's not paid as much. He's not supposed to be as good. And yet we expect them to perform at the same level. No, it doesn't work that way.
Here's one for you, though. He's a backup for a reason.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Whoever your best backup was, right, like that you played, that played behind you, he in the short term could probably produce at a great rate. But you ask him over a long period of time, a long stretch of games, to bring that same consistency of production, there's no chance.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, he's a backup for a reason. And that's not a knock. Like, to be even a backup in the NBA, you got to be a great, great talent and have great accomplishments. But to bring every night consistency, people, again, this is another one. If only we were more consistent, or if only he was more consistent. Yeah. If that was true, then they'd be great. If they could be consistent every night with production, then they'd be a great player, because that's what great players do.
Hmm. Coach, who's your leader for MVP right now at the halfway point?
I would just say there's probably a bucket full. I think to rush the judgment on this, I like what Embiid's done. James, Antetokounmpo, I know everybody now that he's not the flavor of the month, so you can't say that. But who else am I missing? I'm missing
LeBron,
a bunch of guys,
LeBron,
I'm sure.
LeBron's in that conversation.
I said, Doncic, I don't think he played as well early in the year, but now he's playing a lot better. I think that we need to revamp our awards in the NBA. I think there should be a best player award. Like, who's the best player? Forget all the MVP, because then it gets all misconstrued. Who do you think the best player is? You know, like, who's played the best? Who's been the best player this year? And there's a number of guys having really good years. I'll tell you who's climbing the charts is James Harden again. Like, James Harden, like, you know, I don't know how you guys felt about how he, got his way to Brooklyn, but the way he's playing, he just reminds you of why they were so good for so long. You know, like, he is just a spectacular player. He scores, he passes, he's got great hands defensively, even though he's not a great defender, but he can steal the ball. He's got good anticipation. I mean, the guy has been on a mesmerizing roll right now.
Jeff, always keeping it real. Really appreciate the perspective and the cliche busting. I'm a sportscaster by trade, so I love the cliches, but you make a lot of sense. Some of these things are really stupid. Thank you very much.
Please, please, please don't use the word culture the rest of the day. Please.
Thank you.
Hey, it's a great culture around here, Coach.
You know what? Isn't it funny how every NBA team that LeBron goes to automatically has a great culture because they win every game? Like, drives me crazy. But anyway, you guys have a great rest of the day.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll see you tomorrow night on the call of the Mavericks and the Nets, 8:30 Eastern on ABC. Double dip tonight on ESPN. Pacers and the Celtics, who really need to turn it around. And then the Blazers and the Lakers. So Key will be locked in after Tom and Jerry to watch the Lakers tonight on ESPN.
Tom and Jerry, baby.
And as you heard Jeff say, he is all over James Harden. The Nets are hoping James Harden continues to get in the zone. I guess stay in the zone, too. Get in the zone, brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. One more NBA note coming up today on First Take, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. Zion Williamson will join the trio. So Zion today, First Take on ESPN. On the way, we're 16 days away from the bracket and the eventual Sweet 16. Our resident college hoops expert, the guy that used to be with Jay for years and years, weighs in on everything you need to know with Selection Sunday coming. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app.
As good as Gonzaga is, a team like Michigan can give them big-time trouble. This is a potential national championship team.
We need to start talking about this Michigan team in the same conversation with Baylor and Gonzaga.
Wow.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will and Zubin.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
the steal. He got up there and then thought about it, and he put it down cleanly as the Nets extend their lead.
That's Ian Eagle on the Yes Network. Not only did they extend their lead, wow, when it was all said and done, it was a 37-point win, 129-92 Nets over the Magic. They've now scored 120 points, at least in 20 different games this season. Big one, Mavs-Nets tomorrow, 8:30 Eastern on ABC. Double dip tonight featuring the Pacers, Celtics, Blazers, Lakers to end it. Great news here for Tiger Woods as he continues his slow march back. He was transferred to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles from Harbor UCLA Medical Center in Torrance, California. Why is that so important? Cedars-Sinai has a renowned sports medicine institute, and the biggest athletes, the biggest entertainers, they have procedures done at this place, top shelf in the world for what some consider to be the top golfer of all time. We wish him the best. Black History Always this Sunday, February 28th, marking the 33rd anniversary of the Jamaican bobsled team, later immortalized in the feature film Cool Runnings. They debuted at the Winter Olympics in Calgary. At least one Jamaican men's sled competed in every Olympics from 88 to 02, got back in 14, had a top 15 finish, and I think we're still waiting for our first snowflake to fall in Jamaica. So this is a pretty amazing accomplishment. SportsCenter presented by Progressive Insurance. The drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Kevin Connors, Dick Vitale, and our next guest in order, Seth Greenberg, joins us this morning on the Goodyear Hotline. ESPN college basketball analyst. He's brought to you by Wendy's, proud sponsor of the 2021 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year. Of course, Jay won the award in 02. They've been handing out the men's award since 77, and since 04, they've been also handing out the Women's Player of the Year, which is an outstanding as well. Okay, Coach, so exactly what you said is what I was thinking. Gonzaga Baylor 1-2 most of the season, but with the way the Michigan is closing after the three-week pause, they've just been dynamite coming off the pause. You said it. They need to be in the conversation with Gonzaga and Baylor. Why?
Well, first of all, I know that it was something intelligent if you agree with me. Now, if Keyshawn agreed with me, I'd kind of worry about it a little bit. But because you agreed with me, I feel better about the decision.
Gosh, already? I didn't
throwing
even do anything.
Shots out of the gate.
I didn't even do anything, Coach. I'm minding my own business, just thinking about Jay Will and his Michigan State UConn days. That's all.
He compared me to Mateen Cleave, Coach.
Hey, I'm wearing this Naismith shirt in honor of my man Jay Will. The trophies aren't behind you today, Jay Will. But look, when you think about Michigan, you think about Baylor, you think about Gonzaga, you think about Michigan. What doesn't Michigan have that those two teams have? They're elite top five offensive and defensive efficiency, which is incredible. All right, they've got floor gamers all over the floor. They've got terrific guard play. They've got the immovable object in Hunter Dickinson. They're so poised, so balanced offensively, defensively, so connected defensively. They share the ball. They have shot makers, and they handle adversity seamlessly. I mean, they come off of that pause. They're down at the half against Wisconsin. They come out and drop 40 against Wisconsin in a half. 40 holding to 20 win going away. They play an Iowa team. Luka Garza's probably going to be player of the year. All right. Hunter Dickinson guards him head up. No help, a little bit of help maybe from the top scraping down. All right. He goes 6 for 19. All right. And they win the game going away. Jay, well, you always used to say this, and I'm starting to believe it a little bit and kind of lean towards you. Gonzaga, they haven't played anyone. They barely were beating Santa Clara at the half yesterday. Now, look, they took over the game and they're beating people, but they haven't been pushed. They haven't been challenged in months. Baylor coming off a pause. They are the most connected defensive team I've seen since UNLV back in the day. But at times they can get stuck offensively. This Michigan team is as balanced offensively and defensively as any team in the country, and they are in the conversation and as good as the two aforementioned Baylor and Gonzaga.
Notorious B-E-R-G. Is Juwan Howard the coach of the year? Because the job he's done is phenomenal with this unit.
Jay, well, in my mind, not even a question about it. He's coach of the year. Because think about before the season, you had Gonzaga and Baylor. They were 1-2 preseason. that was expected of them, and they've fulfilled their legacy. They've fulfilled the expectation. Michigan wasn't in that conversation. To me, you give the coach of the year to the coach that takes his team and gets him to a level that was unexpected. You get give the coach of the year to a team that maximizes his team potential. Look, they lose Xavier Simpson, who was the leader of that team last year, who was a terrific on-ball defender. All right? They lose him. They lose Teske, their front court rim protector. They take Michael Smith, who transferred from Columbia. He's been not good. He's been phenomenal. Phenomenal. Play starter, playmaker, shot maker, defends the ball, tough, unselfish. They take a freshman, Hunter Dickinson. All right? And the job that the staff at Michigan's done with Hunter Dickinson is absolutely terrific. He steps into the highest level of college basketball. He's a seven-footer that is comfortable in his own skin. He wants to play on the block. You double him. He's a terrific passer out of double teams, which Juwan's spacing to play out of double teams, it might be the best in college basketball. What they did to Ohio State and those double teams was clinical. And then you have Wagner, all right, who to me is just maybe has the best floor game in college basketball at 6'9", and Livers, every time he shoots it, you think it's going in. They utilize their bench. They are extremely unselfish. You can see they have joy for each other's successes. What Juwan Howard's done, not only just with this team, but with the program and with the feeling about the program, and you can see these kids really love playing with each other. He's my coach of the year. It's hands down.
Seth, I want to talk about Brad Underwood's Illini fighting team. And, you know, Ayo Dosunmu is out indefinitely with this facial fracture. How big of a loss? I mean, he was competing against Luka Garza for National Player of the Year, in my opinion. But can you explain to us how big of a loss that is for the Fighting Illini?
It's a huge loss in if he doesn't come back. And actually, in the short term, Jay Will, and tell me if you agree with this, because you know, you've been on teams like, you know, with Ayo Dosunmu out, and I agree with you. I think he has to be the conversation player. He's the best closer in college basketball. He's the Mariano Rivera of college basketball. At the end of the game, he takes over. But because he's out, all right, Andre Cabrillo's got to have a bigger role. As a freshman, he's played a ton of minutes, but now the ball's in his hands. He's a playmaker. Miller, Adam Miller, all right, has to have a bigger role. He's got to be more consistent. You know Trent Frazier's going to give you great minutes. You know Kofi Coburn is going to dominate the paint. But with Dosunmu out, all of a sudden, for a couple of games, you're going to have two freshmen. Their roles are going to change significantly. And as their roles change, they're going to have greater ownership in what they're doing. It's not like, oh, you know what? Iowa's going to bail us out. So I think if it's just a couple of games, I think actually this team has an opportunity to grow some, develop greater depth. And then when Iowa comes back, they're going to be that much better. This is an Elite Eight team. They're a solid defensive team. They've improved defensively. They keep it in front. They don't take give up splits. They're not spread out as far. Kofi Coburn's like baby Shaq, man. I mean, like the dude is – he carves out space. I mean, he's like baby Shaq. I mean, he finishes everything around the basket. He rebounds every miss like it's a pass off the backboard. Dosunmu's phenomenal. Trent Frazier's got a toughness about him and a maturity about him. And Brad Edwards done a great job. So they're for real. I actually think in the short term, this might help them for the long term.
They got three monster games that they really need IU for, but they may not have them. At Wisconsin, then at number three, Michigan, at number four, Ohio State, to end the season. And by the way, Michigan started the season at 25th, bottom of the poll. They might end up at the top when all is said and done. Seth, thank you very much. We're looking forward to March 14th, Selection Sunday, and we'll see you on College Game Day tomorrow.
Can't wait. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Coach.
You got it. That's Seth Greenberg joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Seth and all of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline. On the way, stop me if you've heard this before. Kyrie got a little introspective. But this time around, Jay's got some interesting thoughts on what Kyrie said. What did Irving say? And what does Jay think? We'll have it all.
As good as Gonzaga is, a team like Michigan can give them big-time trouble. This is a potential national championship team.
We need to start talking about this Michigan team in the same conversation with Baylor and Gonzaga.
Wow.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Just speaking the truth as always. I'm the facts guy.
Hey, man.
This is springtime music right here, Key.
Yeah. It is. It's coming.
Driving on that West Side Highway. Yeah.
We'll be in March next week. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline. So we had some fun there throughout the course of the show, just talking about life. But on a more serious note, talking about life, this is Kyrie Irving. The Nets are playing great basketball. They've won 8 in a row. They're just filling up the cup every night. But Kyrie's played on 3 different NBA teams, and he said over the course of his career, he's learned a lot by playing basketball, but a lot of that has nothing to do with basketball.
What I learned from those experiences was if you're not enjoying the journey and you're not committed the way that you would like to be committed, and I mean every day, you know, even when you're tired, even when you're having good days, bad days, and, you know, you got to be able to galvanize the group, the balance of leadership, you know, and there isn't one leader, you know, and I've had to accept that too. It's not on me to lead the group by myself and be the hero that everybody wants to, because that's what America is. That's what this world is. They love to build you up, love to tear your right down. And I'm grateful to be in this position to be able to set a better example now than I did then.
You see, this is what I think he was talking about, Key. You know, when Kai was in Cleveland, LeBron was that guy, right? Mm-hmm. The guy that the media made, like, he's the only leader. And I think even if LeBron, little things referring to him as, you know, we got to get the kid, right? I don't think Kyrie felt like he was seen as an equal to LeBron James, even though he made that game 7 winning shot. You then fast forward where he's like, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be the leader of my own team. The way LeBron leads, he goes to Boston and it doesn't really work out that way. Right. Him and Brad Stevens never seem to get on the same page. He also talks about one of the biggest things is trust. I think they were teammates on that team that started leaking different things to the media. I think some of that onus is on Kyrie. Also, some of that onus is on the franchise as well. It doesn't work out. Right. I think he now goes to Brooklyn. This is the evolution of Kyrie. But he goes to Brooklyn with other guys that have been, quote unquote, exiles. Like, think for KD. KD didn't win it, even though he was back-to-back finals MVP, it was Steph Curry's team. James Harden had to force his way out of Houston, right, because it didn't work out. He was considered to be the villain. He now comes to Brooklyn. Like, all these guys are exiles. That's why I think they're the new bad boys of the NBA, because they're banned. They all feel like they can rock out together, and they see each other as equals. And that trusting is interesting, man. Like, I've been on a lot of teams where there wasn't trust between me and my teammate. And that stuff festers. That leaks into the locker room. You know, you might feel a certain way about guys. I know guys on my own team sabotaged me, would pass me the ball with a second left on the shot clock. So all of a sudden, my stats ended up being 2 for 13, right? And you're like, well, damn, 60% of the shots I took were with 2 seconds left on the shot clock. Hold on. So you start doing that to other people. And think about, like, you never build the right camaraderie. So I think that's the version of Kyrie Irving that we're seeing right now, a guy who understands who he is and how he needs to lead with the other leaders on his team.
I don't know, man. And that's why you asked me, Jay. I see why you asked me how many teammates in my past that I actually fooled with when I was in the locker room. I don't know. For me, I never really tripped off who was getting the attention. It didn't bother me. I don't care. That ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm doing me. You know, I feel like I'm cold regardless. I don't care who it is. And so I look at professional athletes that have these insecurities at times and wonder why. I never could understand why, as a professional athlete, you have an insecurity when you are balling, you playing, you getting paid, your family is healthy and all good, you win a championship. So I don't really – it's hard for me to understand the insecurity part of it. I understand, yeah, LeBron James may have been calling – may have referred to Kyrie as the kid, but I'm not okay. I'm the kid. Whatever, man. I don't have to mess with you. I'm just messing with you on the court. When we leave, we don't have to go to dinner. So it's hard for me, even KD to a degree. Like KD is like one of my favorite NBA players, but I'm winning championships and MVP trophies, man. I don't care if y'all say this is Steph Curry's team. I make $300 million, man. I don't give a damn about y'all. And then as far as James Harden go, James Harden did what he needed to do to get to a better situation. And all three of these guys come together in Brooklyn. And now the question will become, when is this going to implode? If it does implode, which I don't think it will, because I don't think it imploded in the other spots except the fact that the media created something that was bigger than what it really truly was. And if you pay attention to that sort of devilish act, then you're going to have those issues come up. If they never dive into the Kyrie situation and continue to add on top and on and on and on, it's like the one time LeBron hit the one shot and Kyrie was underneath his armpits. Remember that?
Yeah.
And the first thing everybody, rewind and rewind. And see, he passed him over and high-fived the other guy. He didn't really want to high-five Kyrie. Kyrie was trying to jump on him, and LeBron ignored him. I'm like, man, LeBron is celebrating, and the tall dude is next to him so he can see him clearly.
But football is so different, though, Key. Like, you had to rock out with your quarterback. You weren't really – or your coaches. You weren't really relying upon people on the defensive side of the ball or what other wide receivers did or your running backs. Basketball – I need the four of the teammates on the floor. Like, we're all, like, my success is based upon their success too. So if stuff like that happens, or if somebody takes the media the wrong way, it's easy for that to leak into the locker room. It's easy for that to leak onto the court as well.
No, it leaks into the locker room in the NFL, but you don't have to, I guess you don't have to pay attention to it is what I'm saying. Like, I dealt with a handful of my teammates on every single team. Four to five guys that I dealt with on a daily basis, whether we traveled together, we had meals. The other 50, 48 or so guys or whatever, I deal with you at the facility. If I see you out high and by, I kept it moving.
Yeah, but imagine if you have 13 or 14. I mean,
then I'm going to deal with two guys, and I'm going to keep it moving.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's just different strokes for different folks.
Indeed. We'll keep it moving as well. We'll continue to monitor the situation. I mean, the Nets are playing outstanding basketball, but as Kyrie has always shown, he's much more than just basketball.
They are the best offensive team in the history of the record books for the NBA right now. With the
Redskins, he was freezing Jay out.
Come on.
I love that.
You know who would hit those shots? The next man up. Key's got a Russell Wilson trade you've got to hear about.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.